to work. You have to truly believe in the magic.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Magic, an Orlando Magic UK podcast. As always, we are joined by the gruesome twosome. First of all, returning to the starting lineup, the Southwest Sabatini, Mr. Mikey Clark. How are we doing there, Mikey?
I'm doing well, mate. Yeah, sorry I missed last week, last minute. Becky was going through some pregnancy struggles. So, just having to step up and do a bit more at home to help her out. But, it's good to be back this week.
It's great to have you. And joining Mikey, we've got the Earl of the Fultz Fiefdom, the man who is not Santa, but he's making a list and checking it twice. So you better be nice to Markel Fultz. G, how's it going?
Yeah, good. Thank you, mate. Yeah, good to be back. Obviously, last week I was watching the Cardiff Devils, eating my prawn sandwiches. That was very good, but unfortunately I missed out on the pods, so apologies for that. But I'm good. Thank you, mate. Busy week, as always, but good to get back to talk basketball and not any other sport, because let's not do that, especially after today's results.
Very, very wise words from the Welsh Wizard, and I'm just waiting for that notepad where he's taking names down to emerge during the playoffs, G. I really hope that it's out there. I do. I'm crossing my fingers for you. So, before we start, we'd like to say a huge thank you to all our Patreon members who help support the show. We say this every week, but it's true. Without your support, it wouldn't be possible. So, a huge thank you to Barry Conn, Paolo and Franz Warmth, Ollie Law, Gary Clark, Angus Craig, Dylan Holden, the chairman of Fultz Island, Alan Kane.
Suggs Island. I'm Fultz Island.
Sorry, G. I'm still thinking about your list. Dylan's going to have to be renting real estate out on there, isn't he?
Yeah.
Alan Kane, Tom Soan, Mark Joss, Sean Moore, Liam Radbourne, Andy Lindley, Stuart Benzies, Drum, and our newest member, Podfather Phil, loves Hazy Northwestern. That always,
I love it.
Always is getting a smile and a laugh. Thank you all from all of us. Also, summer is approaching. We hope you wouldn't think it in some parts of the country, but you may have the bug to either try and catch the magic in the playoffs, or you may just wish to bag yourself a lovely summer holiday in Florida or elsewhere. If so, why not check out our affiliate links with attractiontickets.com, which are in the description. So in the words of the Beastie Boys, check it out. There you go. I'm not going to do the rest of the rap. So
what's it all about?
Yeah, exactly, G. You can do a bit of the dance moves there as well. So before we chop things up, we are now going to bring in our guest to the show, Mr. Wilson Tsai. So before we get to some chat amongst the crew, we're joined by one of my favourite basketball YouTube channels, the sensational Wilson Tsai. I've been watching Wilson's channel for a few years now, and we're talking off air, and I was saying to Wilson, I don't know how many times when I've had breakfast, had a coffee, cup of tea in my mouth, and then just started laughing at something or been taken in by a take. There was particularly a Jordan Poole one that we spoke about off air, and it will be an absolute travesty. Sorry, Wilson, I kind of say it like you, if we never had the chance to have you as a guest. So welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you on. And how's Saturday going for you in what would probably be mid-afternoon?
Yeah, everything's going well. I want to thank you guys for having me and having this opportunity to talk NBA basketball, stuff that we are all passionate about, especially in the middle of March where we're trying to get ready to end the regular season, have good positioning and get ready for the playoffs and let the craziness begin.
Absolutely. So Wilson, for anyone who is unfamiliar with you, you know, God knows how, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your NBA fandom and your channel in particular?
Yeah, so NBA was always something I gravitated towards growing up. Like back then I struggled with school. I used to fail a lot of exams and whatnot, and I was always pretty upset about like my schoolwork and my lack of progress. But when I started watching the NBA in like the early to mid 2000s, I became so intrigued and fascinated by it. At first, I had those notebooks where I just write down with a pencil every player's name that I can watch and remember. And then the NBA just came naturally to me. Like I can remember some random scores from 2008 like it was yesterday. It was crazy. Like I can remember the Orlando Magic. They won 59 games that Dwight Howard year, and the year before that, they won like 52 with Turkoglu in 08. That was when you guys were in the come up. Those things I remember like yesterday, but schoolwork, I could study 5 hours for a history or science exam and I still fail. And some of my friends study for 30 minutes and they get almost 100. So I'm really bad in school, but MBA, I just remember like on top of my head, like it's nothing. So I just realized like being an MBA fan and being passionate, I'm not bad at everything. There's actually things I'm actually pretty good at. And MBA, my memory historically is pretty good. So that's how I gravitated towards it. And I really love watching the game and watching all the great players and excitement. And basketball is just one of those things that just clicks with people like us. It's a big passion of ours.
Yeah, absolutely. And tell us about your channel. How long have you been, you know, recording your channel on YouTube?
I started it late 2017 is when I started. Like when I was working other jobs, I feel like I was very limited with my freedom and creativity. And because I know a lot about the NBA and I can always talk about all sorts of different topics and share my knowledge, I feel like it's absolutely right for me to just share my knowledge and expertise and just have people like you guys get a kick out of my entertainment and just putting everything I know out there and whatnot. So, and I love talking about the NBA, working as a YouTuber content creator, even though the editing and behind the scenes stuff can get like pretty lonely at times. If I'm not talking to anybody, doing my own research, I always love doing it. And I don't even view it as a job. It's something I really like enjoy and love, and just sharing my knowledge out there and just people getting to know more about the NBA and getting entertained because of what I'm bringing out makes me very happy. And just is NBA is one of my biggest expertise out there, and that's why I love doing it, and I'll continue to do it even though there's a lot of content creators, there's all sorts of topics being discussed, but I can tell you confidently I don't think I'll ever run out of topics.
No, you're doing a cracking job and we really enjoy it. Yeah. So, you know, make sure, you know, you check Wilson out. But obviously this is an Orlando Magic focused podcast. So I just wanted to know your views on the Magic this season and maybe how you'd feel if you were a Magic fan.
I would feel extremely excited and proud as a Magic fan after all these years since post-Dwight Howard era. You guys haven't had an identity for so long, but starting at around this time last year, I remember last season you guys maybe got off to like a 4-20 start, but you guys actually finished the season strong, won in the mid-30s. So this season, you guys have Paolo Banchero, who's a first-time All-Star in his second season, 21 years old, high IQ player. He's looking like a franchise star and one of the most underrated guys to like build around. But you guys have a go-to potential superstar building around and a couple nice pieces. Franz Wagner, who's really crafty, great footwork, and just with the length and youth out there and having good culture. That's what the Magic didn't have for a long time. So I would be absolutely optimistic as a Magic fan. This is probably one of the happiest times for you guys since I would say the 2010 season, since May of 2010 before facing Boston. So Orlando Magic fans absolutely should feel super ecstatic about themselves and how much they progress and how good they become so fast with all positivity, no negative distractions around their team. So that is a plus.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So obviously inside the Magic fan base, Wilson, there's a view that Paolo doesn't get the credit and the love that he deserves. Obviously, he made the All-Star team this February. But what's your take on P5? Is he underrated to you, overrated? Do you think he's potentially a top 10 NBA player in the coming years? How do you see Paolo's view around the league?
I do think he's very underrated right now because the Magic are winning a lot of games. They have a better record than teams like Lakers and Golden State. And it's just a combination of him being underrated and the NBA media getting super lazy. Like, you guys probably watch all those shows on ESPN and First Take. They talk about the same stuff for years and years. They get comfortable with a superstar player like a LeBron and Curry, and they've been really great for so long. So they can't stop talking about them. And other than that, like, it's been the international guys like the Jokic's and Doncic's pretty much dominating. And guys like Paolo, even guys like Anthony Edwards, they start talking about him just the last couple months, like hyping him up and whatnot. He's also very good too. And Paolo, he's going to get right up there like pretty soon. But the Orlando Magic, because they don't do anything crazy out of the ordinary, and Paolo, he's not like a freakishly type guy like a Victor Wembanyama, who's 7'4 with crazy length and unlike anything we ever seen. Paolo kind of gets like lost out there because the NBA, they like selling the clickbait stuff. Like when some guy has really long arms like Wimby or jumps really high, Paolo's a good 6'10", excellent athlete, but he's not built something like out of the extraordinary. That's why he doesn't get talked about as much, but he's really proven himself out there. He is a strong motor, 6'10", he can pass, he's very fluid. He's gonna be one of the best players right now. I do think he's probably in the top, climbing up to like the top 20-ish range by the end of this season. We gotta see like his first playoff, what he can produce, but he's definitely on the rise for sure. And I could see him probably climbing up the top 15 next year and be in the discussion with the John Morants and Anthony Edwards of the world, possibly given his progress.
It's hard to disagree with that, I think, Wilson. I think from what we've seen as well, we obviously see like every game of Banchero. Yeah. And for me, it was when we saw the Detroit game when he made his debut, his first game in the NBA. And I think by the first quarter, I was just like, yeah, we've got one. We've got one, but it wasn't getting talked about. But what he did in that game, it was beyond his years. And then seeing him live, seeing him in person as well, I think the TV takes size off Paolo. We've seen him live in the Kia Center. And when you're on the floor level and you're looking at him, he just fills space. He is a big kid, really big. So it'll be interesting how he makes that use of that frame, that body, and then just gains more and more as the team grows together and the Magic put parts around him. So I agree, the Magic can make Paolo better as well. Anyone who's watching this is going to know that you watch a ton of basketball across the league. And you did a video recently where you were talking about the current draft class being one of the best defensive class of the century. And we have Anthony Black from that class, and we think he's got strong defensive potential. So what's your take on Anthony Black this season?
Yeah, he's a very promising player that's just fitting in, and he's going to be the type of guy who's going to have to earn his minutes. He's in a great culture under Mosley as head coach, who's great at developing young guys, and he's playing under Jalen Suggs, so he's not going to get many minutes. And his defense is really good, very active. And when he closes out and contest shots, he has a really high jump, like his reaction time. So he's going to be promising. He's going to be up there. But for the first season and a half, I just don't see him playing too much. And there's still going to be some uncertainty whether he can be a playmaker for the Magic, which you guys will probably need to have like a floor general point guard to go up to the next level within the next year or two. But he's a promising guy as a sixth pick. And he's just waiting his turn. As long as he remains patient and put in the work and remain professional, not lash out on why he should play more, he's in a great position. And I expect him to play serious minutes probably by 2026, if not next season. So he's a promising guy that's a work in progress. So he just didn't really get the opportunity to play like the other rookies, like the Ahmed and Asar Thompsons of the world. But his defense is definitely much more polished than his offense, and he's on the right team and right system under it, backing up Jalen Suggs. So that's just terrific.
Where would you rank him in terms of guards that are drafted this summer? So you compare him to like Asar, Amon Thompson. Where do you think Anthony Black is defensively compared to those players?
I would say he's a notch below them. He just hasn't really played that many minutes, but he does have the qualities. Like, he does have the qualities of those guys. Those guys just been able to play more, obviously, on really bad teams. But Anthony Black, if he was on the Wizards, he'd probably be starting a bunch of games and scoring way more points and making much more of an impact. But I do think that Anthony Black, his first couple of years, his numbers and his minutes will be limited, but he's going to develop the right habits under a good culture that plays winning basketball. So I don't view him as someone that could potentially be like an all-star in this league, but just a good role player to plug in, perhaps a 13-point, 6-rebound score in his prime. And he also has pretty good length, it seems, at 6'6". It's like the Orlando Magic guys, when they rotate Anthony Black, when he contests a shot, when he's down low, other guys, like, they get disrupted because they don't realize that he's actually pretty tall guy too, like, for his position. So He adds to the Orlando Magic team, man. I can see him possibly being like a 6, 7, or 8 man within a couple of years playing serious minutes. Or perhaps he can replace Gary Harris, who's in the last year of his contract, and Black can absolutely fit on that role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the Magic extended Jamal Mosley this week, yeah, giving him a four-year contract extension. As Magic fans, we're all really, really delighted with the news. I mean, he's been everything and more than we all thought he was going to be. A lot of Magic fans thought he was going to be Jack Vaughn 2.0, but fortunately, he's been the tone setter, and he's been just as vital, I think, as Paolo, Franz, and the players we've drafted. But what's your views on Coach Mosley outside of Magic fans?
I like what he's doing with the Orlando team. The team actually has an identity for the first time since, obviously, the post-Dwight Howard era. He has everybody playing hard, and it's just good to develop a culture. You see, in today's NBA, unlike the Brooklyn Nets with, like, Durant and Kyrie Irving, like, those superstars took over, and they had every say and control of that team. Like, culture was just thrown out the window. It was more egotistical stuff. But, like, this Orlando team reminds me of the Nets, like, pre-KD and pre-Kyrie era in 2019, when Kenny Atkinson, who's also a very similar developmental coach under the young guys who love playing under him, like, the team is very happy. I haven't seen anything from, like, the Orlando Magic getting, like, angry or anything. So it's kind of similar to the Brooklyn Nets 2019 team, when everyone's really happy, they're developing. But the difference is that the Orlando Magic have a guy like Paolo Banchero, who could be a top 10 player in the game, and the Nets had D'Angelo Russell, who only had a limited ceiling. So I see the similar development with Mosley and Atkinson. And the Orlando Magic, their identity is defense first, having guys that are super long, playing together, the Wagner and Banchero at 6'10", and they're just so amazing defensively. Long arms just everywhere on the court, even though they don't really have, like, a huge 7-footer outside of Gogo. This team has great defense, and perhaps we can see a shift in the NBA and bring defense back, unlike the past years with all offense and regular season. Orlando's a very unique team, and they're going to get talked about more once they just get better. But defense-first teams, defense over the history of the NBA does win championships combined with talent. So Mosley has the team absolutely in the right track. And you just have guys who play super hard, like Jalen Suggs, like, the energy, super contagious. They have an identity, and they already have guys who figure out their roles. Like, a lot of players who come into the league, oh, I got to be the man. Oh, I'm a top five pick. I got to be this and that. But Jalen Suggs, he knows that he's probably not going to be a superstar franchise player in this league. Drafted fourth out of Gonzaga. So he improved on his three-point shooting and tried to be the best defensive version of himself, being the hustler and energetic guy of that team. You got to love it. So absolutely amazing turnaround for the Magic the last 2.5 years.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned about you'd like to see defense become more of a trend. I think it's something we've seen more of a trend since the All-Star break, that referees are swallowing their whistles and not calling as much, and they're letting teams play a bit more physical. But that's a story and a topic for another day. I'll let you do a video on that. But the playoffs are looming, and we've seen the Knicks. The Magic faced the Knicks this week in Indiana. The games have been physical, and we've started to see that playoff intensity start to pick up over the last couple of weeks. But how do you see the East shaking out between now and April, before the playoffs start? Do you think we can maybe make the fourth seed? How do you see the playoffs shaking out?
I think the Magic would have a way better shot against the Knicks if they do get home court advantage and get the fourth seed. Obviously, the Knicks are a little bit ahead of the Magic. Could go either way with the standings, with Julius Randle still hurt and whatnot. But if the Knicks drop a little bit and the Magic actually do get the fourth seed, I don't think they're going to catch Cleveland or Milwaukee. Those teams are good, and they're experienced. They know what it takes to win games if they play hard, especially with the talent. But I could see if the Pacers get hot or the Miami Heat get hot and the Knicks drop, and if Orlando gets the four seed and play the Pacers, I think it's actually a way better matchup for you guys compared to the Knicks, because the Pacers are a team that hasn't got out of the first round in probably over a decade, since maybe 2014 or 2016. And you guys, I feel, match up well against them because defense gets more physical in the playoffs. Offense, they're going to slow down. And we see, like, a team like the Pacers, like, when serious time comes around, they made an amazing run to play in tournament, but they had no matchup against the length of Anthony Davis with the Lakers when it was a super serious game both teams are trying to play. And I can see Orlando Slam just disrupting the Pacers. The Pacers also, their defense not that great. I don't think they have an answer for someone like Paolo. And they're still a very young team. And when the game slows down for them, come playoff time, they're going to be in trouble against Orlando. So you guys matching up with Indiana is definitely a great matchup that you guys can win and get to the second round. I think that's your ceiling. But if you guys play the New York Knicks, two very evenly matchup teams, two defense first prioritized low scoring games, obviously you guys scored only 73 points like a couple weeks ago against New York. But the difference between you guys and the Knicks, the three-point shooting of New York, Bogdanović, OG, and Anobi, that's one thing that you guys don't have for your team. You guys obviously will get better with that. So the Magic three-point shooting is absolutely rough compared to other teams. So come playoff time, you need guys that can shoot threes and knock down shots. And I just think that New York has that level, and they just more loaded in that position too. And they have Jalen Brunson, who could close out game in the postseason. And Orlando being super young with Paolo and Wagner, this will be their first postseason. So I think it's going to be a good test for them. But the Knicks, I just feel that right now, better and more established than the Magic overall, if I'm being honest.
We do have the season series, though, so we have proven we could beat the Knicks this year. So,
yeah, no, in fairness, you know, the Knicks have made some trades. They've got Anunoby. They've got a couple of Magic killers in there in Burks and Bogdanović. So, yeah, no, we get it, Wilson. We get it. But something we've discussed on this channel, Wilson, who the Magic can realistically, or what we can do realistically to take the next steps to become a real force in the East. Who do you think we should, you know, realistically target, any pieces in particular, to take the next steps? Sometimes we might wear, you know, blue tinted glasses here. So just wanted to know what your thoughts were.
Yeah, definitely try not to target one of those egotistical superstars that needs to be my team, my team. They're going to kill the chemistry. Paolo Banchero is the franchise player, as we've seen. Like, the team obviously builds around him, and it seems like he has a very bright future with the right attitude. So you don't want to mess that up. You have Mosley too, who's coaching the team very good. So I don't think they need to add like a superstar player that's just going to say it's my team. But other guys like a Malik Monk is pretty good because he can shoot the threes, and he's well improved, and he's been in some big playoff moments as we've seen last season in Sacramento. He averages 5 assists a game. He might not be a pure point guard, but he can also play like the pick and roll game with like Sabonis, like with Sacramento. We've seen him succeed in that role and just brings good energy, kind of almost entering his prime. So somebody like him, if you guys, I don't see you guys like resigning Markelle Fultz, and Gary Harris probably going to leave too. So some pickup like a Malik Monk, who's a pretty good player, can just fit well with that team.
That's words you don't want to, you don't want to say to Garrett. He's a massive Markelle Fultz fan to say.
Oh, okay.
They won't re-sign him. He's I can see the little vein getting a little bit angry on top of his head.
Yeah, he's had a tough career so far, just like his injuries and whatnot, and just really tough break for him. He is a very good player, very strong at attacking the rim, and he's got good intangibles. But it's just that if the team wants to have culture and they're succeeding when Markelle Fultz is not playing those games, where does he honestly like fit in?
G?
Yeah. he's got injuries. We all know what he can do. We've seen what he can do. You know, I bang on about this every week. Everybody knows what Markelle can do. He's obviously struggling with injuries at the moment. Obviously, it's a contract year, which is really unfortunate. So yeah, like you said, Wilson, it's a little bit up in the air. You know, and Magic Twitter, there's not many on Team Markelle with me at the moment, so I have made names. So
poking the bear.
Yeah, we got to find out by the playoffs in the first round who can actually play and who can contribute and maybe win some of those games just out of nowhere. That's very important. It could make the the difference between signing for a vet minimum or getting like a 3-year, like $45 million deal, or maybe even more. So the postseason, absolutely everything, like what you guys able to do, who's going to step up out of nowhere and win a game or two, or maybe get an upset. So that's, it's going to leave it all come like first round, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm absolutely interested as to what the playoffs do, because I do think there's some question marks, as you said, Wilson, and I think some of those questions about who the long-term players are for the Magic will be answered very, very soon. So I'm intrigued to see it. We couldn't let you go without working in your absolute travesty catchphrase. And for me, when I look at travesties for the Orlando Magic, I'll say the words Rob Hennigan. I'm also going to say the Dwight Mayer. And I'm going to say the Serge Ibaka trade, where we gave up Oladipo, Ilyasova, and Domantas Sabonis for Serge Ibaka, which was awful. So what, in your opinion, are the historic travesties for the Orlando Magic?
Everything, the biggest absolute travesties of the Orlando Magic. Just trying to get Evan Fournier and Vucevic, who you guys probably watched so many times, giving you some good regular season memories. But why build around those guys that are not even like top 25 players in the game? Like, no chance of winning, staying mediocre. The only thing to avoid those travesties and how badly they perform in the playoffs is game one DJ Augustine's. That was the most exciting part of the team, like before this season, probably you guys for the last like couple years or so. But the team just had no identity, didn't know what they were doing, didn't know how to utilize Aaron Gordon. Oh, is he a point guard? Is he a power forward? Is he this? Should he go to the perimeter? He finds his role with the Denver Nuggets just fits so perfectly. Good player that would just misuse everywhere. Drafting Mo Bamba was an absolute travesty too, because what's he doing with Philly now?
Yeah.
That's pretty tough. But the least absolute travesties was getting rid of Vucevic and landing Wagner, who's you guys' second best player right now, just very promising. And Wendell Carter, who seems like he's part of the rotation as a good role player at the center spot. Just a trade made in heaven. And you give the Magic giving the Chicago Bulls some tragic that they felt post-White era. So that's a win for you guys.
there's one travesty nobody's mentioned, and I can't believe you haven't mentioned it, is low-balling Shaq and letting him leave and go to the Lakers. That's the biggest one of all.
That's a big travesty. Huge, huge travesty.
I've covered that travesty in recent weeks on this channel. I've already been on that hill a few times.
Yeah. And I'm not sure how you guys feel about Vince Carter too, but a lot of people love him because of his exciting dunks, and he was fun to watch, obviously, with the Nets and Raptors, but I have to say that for you guys, Vince Carter was a travesty in 2010 against Boston. He played so well in the second round when you guys swept Atlanta all by double digits, but against great defense, the physical, like Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce outscored Vince Carter. They were up 3-0 against you guys when you guys, a lot of people had you guys in a rematch against the Lakers in 2010, but Vince Carter just cannot deliver. And that was the last time the Magic was real contenders. 2010. That was a travesty how Vince Carter played in the conference finals. And then you guys wanted back Hedo Turkoglu, but he got paid and he just relaxed. That was a travesty too.
That's some bad memories coming back there, because I think we got Carter probably a year too late.
Yeah.
If we'd had him in the finals the previous season, I think he would have occupied Kobe enough. I'm not saying he'd have outscored Kobe, but I think he could have expended some energy from Kobe defensively and might have done a little bit better. But there's a few travesties in Orlando Magic history, to be fair. Like the Shaq one, you know, going through it. Like for me, everything just flashes back to Hennigan. And thinking back on that era, I think I've just got PTSD from that. But absolutely awful. And then we've had a few coaches as well, which I think we're like, Jacques Vaughn 2.0, that was an interesting time to be alive as a Magic fan. And then the Mo Bamba thing, Wilson, on Magic Twitter, that was almost a civil war on where you stood on Bamba. That was almost a civil war of whether you thought he should have got minutes or not. That was something else to behold.
That's pretty wild.
But Do you know what? I actually thought as well, because Bamba, I was at the last game of the season, and I actually thought he did re-sign and come back, but it looked like for a moment that the last thing Mo Bamba would have done in a Magic uniform was fist bump me, because he did it just before he went down the tunnel, taking the jersey off. And I was like, wow, if Bamba doesn't re-sign, I'm the last person who's had an interaction with Mo Bamba in a Magic jersey. So that was going to be my claim to fame, and then he came back. So that went out the window. But never mind. So, Wilson, thank you for joining us. But before you go, would you like to plug your socials, your YouTube channel, and just let any basketball fans who watch our pod know, if they haven't seen yours, where they can find you, because it's awesome content that you put out.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys, like, for giving me this opportunity to share my thoughts. Like, my YouTube channel is just under my first and last name, Wilson S-Y, Wilson Sy. That's how I pronounce my last name, and I just like to always be real and authentic and say what I want to say and say what I really want to believe, what I believe at 100% at all times. My Twitter is also WilsonSY93. Like, regular season, I don't tweet about the NBA every day, but come playoff time, I get very animated and I'll make some absolute travesty videos come playoff time. There's going to be a couple of those teams I'm just going to go on a full tangent on, so no team is safe from my travesty rants. And just NBA, just always part of our lives, and it's the best sport in the world, in my opinion, to watch. I just wish players can play harder in the regular season, so we'll be more into it. But come playoff times, like, nobody's hiding their flaws. If you can't play hard, you can't play any defense, you're not really championship material. And the Orlando Magic, just a bright, bright future. A lot of young guys, good culture, everything established, just build upon Bencaro. You guys should be very good for some years to come, many years to come. Maybe that decade worth of travesties, like post-Dwight Howard era, can lead to the decade of Gray Paolo and Franz and a decade of winning, hopefully for you guys.
Fingers crossed.
Sounds
yeah,
good.
And before I go, I also have an Orlando
yes,
Magic.
Sir.
Oh, yes. Yes. The man.
One of us.
He's joined. Welcome to the gang.
Thanks. It's a really nice hat. I really like this logo too. You guys have some of the best jerseys, especially the 90s.
Yeah. Yep. We are absolutely with you there. With the 90s jerseys, the pins and the stars, unreal.
Yeah. I would have to go to a Magic game if I ever go back down to Orlando. Maybe next year if I visit Disney, but the Amway Center. Mm-hmm. I've been to the Orlando Magic store. Very great stuff. But maybe I'll go back and have to catch a game at some point.
That's Wilson, honestly, that has been absolutely sensational. And thank you for giving up your time this afternoon. And hopefully you've got a good afternoon planned in the Big Apple or at this roundabout.
Yeah. Weather's getting warmer, so going to do some activities and work out today and try to work as hard as the Orlando Magic, building good culture, good chemistry, living life the right way, positively.
What a guest that was. Wilson absolutely smashing it for us, and I'm definitely going to keep watching his YouTube channel. And we had a long chat off air, just a really nice guy as well. Absolutely spot on. So since me and the Slice cut it up last week, we've lost to the Pacers, beat the Nets, beat the Raptors. That puts us at 39-28. And instead of going game by game, because I don't want to get monotonous, I want to change this up a little bit, lads. We're closing in on the end of the season. We all believe in magic, so I think we should call in the magic genie. And the catch with the genie is they dictate the wish, and then we take it from there. So the magic genie's first one is this. The Magic are heading at the playoffs. You have to identify one thing which is not as good as it could be in Orlando right now. Putting it right would make the Magic significantly better. So what would it be? I'm going to start with Mikey, then go to G. So what would be something realistically we could put right that would make us better?
I was going to say, should we do it all on 1, 2, 3, thinking we might all have the same thing?
We can if you want.
Go on then. 1, 2, 3.
Three point shooting. Yeah.
I said slightly different to you guys there. But
what did you say, Gav?
I was once fourth quarter Franz back.
Yeah, that'd be a good sign.
Yeah. That's another one. It's another one.
3-point shooting for both of you.
Yeah, it has to be, doesn't it?
It does. It makes such a difference, doesn't it? And when the long ball's going down, it just opens it up so much for Franz and Paolo. I guess if you want to throw another one in there, it's just having that defense that we had at the beginning of the season every night. You know, it comes and goes a little bit. It's been there maybe in the last week or two, but then the offense hasn't. So it's probably one of those three, you know, better offense, 3-point shooting, and keeping that defensive intensity, what we know we can do. And then if we're asking the genie for four, then I'd say no injuries as well. So there you go.
You can only get three wishes.
Okay. Second wish is this. Paolo, clearly our best player, the franchise. But after Paolo, who is the most important player for the short-term success of the Magic between now and wherever we end up in the postseason, wherever the season ends for us, because the genie wants to give somebody flowers. So, G, we'll start with you. Who is the most important player who should get flowers after Paolo Banchero?
It's going to be between two, isn't it? Well, no. I want to know who Mikey's got now.
Jonathan Isaac.
Isaac was one of my three. I was going to go Jalen Suggs, just for the fact that Wagner does what he does, but when Suggs is on that level defensively, when he's shooting the threes, when he's throwing his body on the floor, that intensity that he brings, that winning attitude, he just rallies the whole squad. So for me, I think it's him as the second most important player in the short-term success, especially for this season. If it's Wagner, then you know what you're going to get. Again, he's brilliant, but he doesn't bring that defensive intensity. And I think Mikey's probably going to go down the same route here with what he's going to say about Jonathan Isaac.
Yeah, I mean, we got a nice little sample size last night from J.I. against Toronto, going 2-for-4 from three. He's shooting 36% on the season from three. And his defensive impact is obviously the most elite thing that he brings. And I just think, I just laugh every time he's on the floor. Then you get players driving to the paint, and then they turn around and Jonathan Isaac stood there, and then they turn around and dribble the ball back out. It's like, but you still get one or two players every game that thinks, oh, I'm going to challenge JR at the rim, and he'll get them every single time. Every time.
And Jeff Turner as well, when he's like, don't do it.
Yeah. I think for a player, look, we know Paolo dictates how the whole team plays with his passing ability, his ability to get to the basket, get to the free throw line, scoring from all three levels. Paolo will take us as far as he takes us in the postseason. But I think Franz is obviously a nice complementary player to Banchero, and you want to see Franz continue to get your 20 points a game. You want to see that 3-point shooting develop. But JR's impact defensively, if you want to win in the postseason, like we've seen games now where they're starting to integrate JR at the five, and I've been banging on this drum for 5 years. J.I. at the five, Paolo at the four, Franz at the three. You cannot tell me that if we end up playing Boston, Milwaukee, Cleveland, New York, if we play any of those teams in the postseason, first round, even in the second round, none of those teams are going to want to play against Jonathan Isaac for extended periods of time, because he is fantastic. He is great. And he is just starting to get flowers from national media, and you're hearing people naturally saying, J.I. might actually be the best defensive player in the league. We know this. We've been talking about this for a long, long time. But the only reason he doesn't get that attention is because he doesn't play the minutes that some of the other players are having. But his impact could be the difference between us winning a first-round series or not, for me. So,
yeah.
That's... How about you, Gar?
I think it depends who we get in the playoffs. So if we were to end up, say, with Milwaukee, I think Jonathan Isaac is even more important than he usually is with big minutes because of what he could potentially do to Milwaukee's biggest asset. Mm-hmm. I think if we get someone like Cleveland or New York, I think it's Franz Wagner, because we need someone, and it's most likely to be Franz, to come out as the next big scoring option, because Paolo can give us 25 a night in the playoffs. I think that's we know that on his talent, but we need somebody to turn up alongside him, because the last thing we want is Paolo getting triple teamed. And Franz has done better against sub 500 teams, so we need that Franz there where they've got two guys to think about. So for me, it depends who we have. If it's a team like Milwaukee, Philadelphia, where there's a dominant big, J.I. speaks for himself even more than normal. Whereas if we end up with New York, Cleveland, where it's a little bit more of an even matchup, I think Franz Wagner becomes even more vital as the likely second biggest scoring option. It might be somebody else, but it's likely Franz. So, my logic. So, wish number three. It's October. The season's about to tip. The Magic have realistically upgraded one spot on the team, and Wilson gave us an answer to this in a different way of asking the question. So it can be a starter, it can be the bench, it can be a draft pick, it can be a backroom hire. What do you ask the genie to do? And if it is outlandish, you've got to talk the genie into believing. And I'm going to start. We'll go to Mikey on this one.
Well, if the genie was sat here with us, he'd be telling us, I don't want to talk about this now. He wants to talk about this in the off-season.
The politician.
Exactly. But I'm going to keep it simple. If there's one spot on the floor that the Magic need to improve between now and October, it's the point guard position.
Okay. G.
Yes. I mean, obviously the point guard position has been sort of up and down all season, mostly down, let's be honest. But you just need to find that last starting piece to complement what we've got on the floor with Paolo and Franz. And it doesn't have to be, an out-and-out point guard. We saw Gary Trent Jr., you know, did he audition last night? I don't know. But he was very, very good for the Toronto Raptors, lighting it up against us, capable three-point shooter. You just need someone to spread the floor. The obvious answer here is to get somebody to assist in spreading the floor, be it a point guard or a capable two or a three and D kind of guy that's shooting it lights out. Emmanuel Quickley was another good one. Obviously, he's not going to be on the market because I reckon the Raptors are going to re-sign him. He was very good. Mm-hmm. So, in short, I think that's the most obvious answer.
I think we need a contributor in the starting lineup because I think three of the spots are set. I think it's likely, therefore, in the backcourt. It does not have to necessarily be a point guard because of the way the team is constructed, but I think we need a reliable three and D starter who can play there alongside Jalen Suggs, who can give us floor spreading. If nothing else, the ideal world, a superstar comes available and says that they only want to play for Jamal Mosley based on previous links with Jamal Mosley. And you can figure that one out.
Does he have his own shoe line?
He might wear the same number twice on his jersey.
All right, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but, Texas is as Texas does. But yeah, that's what would be the ideal world.
Not,
really,
it's not Kyrie. It's not Kyrie.
It's not. I believe the Earth isn't flat. So what we'd have really, though, in all seriousness, is a reliable option alongside Gary Harris. Alongside Jalen Suggs, with Gary Harris's injuries have seemingly taken that away from him this season, and we don't know where we stand with Markel with injuries either. So that would be my option. So in the next week, the Magic are back in the Kia Center. We've got the Raptors and Dick up at 11. And then we have...
You've loved these last couple of games, haven't you? You've loved them.
Me? Could I? Not at all, not at all. But I did have to laugh at the Raptor commentary where there was a bit where they say Dick penetrates.
Yeah.
that came in. Well, then we've got the Ballless Hornets on Tuesday before welcoming the Pelicans to town on Thursday. Again, 11 p.m. tips. So, G, I'll start with you. What's your predictions?
You've got to win these two. You've got to win these two. And there's no reason why we shouldn't win these two. I mean, the Raptors have got a lot of injury problems. I thought we let them off a little bit last night. And we should have put them away a lot sooner. Obviously, being at home, there's absolutely no excuses, especially with a full complement of our roster. And we should take care of the Hornets and try and extend this, you know, lead or this grip that we've got on the at least fifth spot, if not fourth at that point, because I think the Knicks play the Kings. So win those. Pelicans will be a tougher ask. A lot better team, obviously, in the mix in the playoffs in the West. They have dropped a couple of games in recent weeks that could have helped us. So a bit disappointing for those. So hopefully they have one of those games against us. And you've got to be looking at 3-0. You've got to be. The guys are locked in. And it is a different feel to it now for us as Magic fans, isn't it? There's a bit of an expectation that, you know, that they're ready to win. And that's what we got to hope.
Absolutely. Maggie, where do you stand? 3-0 in the Welsh Wizards. What have you got?
3-0 for me as well. Yeah. Like I said, the first two games, it's going to be really disappointing if you drop either of those. At the end of the day, we got start of an 8-game homestand. We got to push on for that fourth seed. I said a couple of weeks ago when I was on the pod that I thought we'd go 12-3 in March. We've got some tougher games coming up towards the end of our homestand, which I think one of those is probably more likely to get us. I think we've got the Clippers, the Warriors coming up. So they're going to be some tough games too. But yeah, I think they've got to keep this momentum going. And I think we match up well with the Pelicans. So yeah, I'm going to go 3-0.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm worried about the Pelicans game. That's the one that concerns me, because Mikey's saying we match up well. It depends who turns out for the Pelicans that night. I think they're quite a similar team in terms of form, streakiness, etc. in some ways to us. I think they're like our equivalent in the West. If we were a Western team, I think we would be round about what their record is. Obviously built differently, but they can do some damage on the inside. They've got three very good scorers on the team when they're all healthy, but they've had their own health issues. There could be anyone in the league on their night, so I hope we'll catch them on an off night. 3-0 for me is important, because with the Clippers coming in, with the Kings coming in as well, I think they're two hard games for us in terms of matchups. So to try and keep this like gorilla grip on the at least the fifth seed, I think we've got to try and aim for 3-0 this week, because I could see us dropping a couple of those home games that are coming up as well. So, yeah, please be 3-0. So, that's a wrap for this week. We had a fantastic guest. It's a pleasure to have you guys here again. If you're watching and you're interested in picking up a heavily discounted Paolo Banchero All-Star jersey...
Don't tell Mikey.
G pointed it out to a furious Mr. Clark. It's on NBA Europe. You can use our discount code MAGICUK10. Or if you'd like something a little bit more bespoke, head over to our merch store in the links below. So for Mikey, G, and myself, as always, go Magic.